Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a waspily rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Time to awaken. Mark, Mark, wake up, Mark.
Are you like a crazy person?
I'm quite sure they will say so.
And good afternoon, if you're on the East Coast, and good morning if you're on the West Coast. If you're somewhere else, I don't know what time it is. So welcome to Mark the Rabbit Hole. Today, September 11th, 2015. Today we have a fantastic guest again, Susan A. Shepherd. And she is a expert on Mothman, Men in Black, Indrid Cold, and runs the Haunted Parkersburg Ghost Tour. And she will be a, as usual, a featured speaker at the Mothman Festival in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Next weekend. So we will be bringing her on in just a couple of minutes here. Get that up. So I've got some posts to some of her blogs and to the Mothman Festival on in the chat room, and of course on my Facebook page. So, first of all, I want to wish a happy birthday to one of our listeners, one of our frequent listeners, Sharon, who I believe is in North Carolina. We appreciate you listening, and we will, I'm sure we'll have no problem making today's show quite interesting. So, obviously, the astrological energy. you're probably getting tired of hearing this. The astrological energy is a little off the boards right now. We are in the last week of Saturn in Scorpio. On the 13th, which is Sunday, we have a new moon and a solar eclipse at 20 degrees of Virgo, and that is exact at 2:41 a.m. on Sunday morning. So, obviously going to be very intense the next 36 hours or so. and I like to say it's going to loosen up quite a bit after that, but that's just not really the reality. On the 17th, which is next Thursday, just under a week from today, we're going to have a Jupiter-Neptune opposition at 7 degrees of Virgo and Pisces. And on the same day, that's at 2:56 in the morning. And on the same day at 2:10 p.m., Mercury is going to go retrograde. I know we all love those. That's going to be at 15 degrees Libra. And then later on the evening, on the 17th, at 10:47 p.m., Saturn will leave the sign of Scorpio and enter Sagittarius for roughly the next 2.5 years. So yeah, I think we're all I'll be ready for that one, no doubt. So coming up after that, oh goodness, yeah, the week of September 24th is that week is very interesting as well. We will go into that a little more at later points. Saturn at the last degree of Scorpio is, again, we are confronting our deepest fears and letting go of old karma. Saturn shows us where things are weak or unstable or need fixing, and Saturn helps gives us the energy to correct things that need corrected, we'll say. I know it's rough out there on everyone right now. I'll just say things will look, by the time we get to the end of September, things will look very different than they are right now. So don't let the Jupiter in Virgo get your wheels spinning too hard. We will have lots of energy at our back to make any changes that need made, and we will get to where we need to go. Again, the energy will feel much different by the time we get to the end of September. So just do what you do and keep moving forward. I am really excited about our guest here today. I plan on making the trek down to Point Pleasant next weekend for the Mothman Festival. Our guest today is Susan A. Shepherd, and she's a Cancer, so we already like her. She's a native of Doddridge County, West Virginia, and lives in Parkersburg. That Susan does a lot of things, so I'm sure going to miss a couple things here, but we'll just keep rolling. She's involved with International Metaphysical University. I believe she helps run the astrology course there. She has a company called... she runs the Haunted Parkersburg Ghost Tours. Executive producer and screenwriter of the remake of the 1932... film White Zombie, which came out in 2014. Featured speaker at the Mothman Expo. She will be giving a lecture entitled Dark Men at the Crossroads, Indrid Cold and the Men in Black. She's been running the Haunted Parkersburg Ghost Tour since 1996. You can see her in the Eyes of the Mothman DVD put out by Andy Colvin, which I watched some of this week. She's also can be seen on an episode of Mysteries at the Museum on the Travel Channel. Also working on designing her own tarot deck. Has made some donations to the Mothman Museum there in Point Pleasant. Writes blogs on ghost stories. Put a really good blog up on psychic vampires recently. That's up on, the blog came out a couple years ago. She reposted it. So that's a topic we touch on a good bit here. So I've posted that on my Facebook wall as well. So, without any further ado, we're going to bring on Susan A. Shepherd.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, you have good news for me. I have a 28, almost 29 degrees moon in Scorpio. I'm going to be so glad to see Saturn leave Scorpio. This is like, oh, man, it hit me three times. So I like to say to people, I kind of feel like I keep throwing up all over myself. And But, I mean, you know, you learn things through Saturn. And, you know, my Phoenix cards came out during my first moon on my Saturn. So, you know, I work really hard on those. So a lot of times when you, you know, the best way to use Saturn, I think, sometimes is just sort of overlook all the obstacles and things and just work really hard. It you know, the interesting thing about Saturn, too, is, you know, we look at, I'm sorry to go off into astrology, but this is just, okay.
Absolutely.
A lot of times we look at Jupiter as, you know, for accomplishments and successes and good luck and all that. But, you know, a lot of times with Jupiter, it's not really long-term, or it doesn't, you know, it's not a long-standing thing. But I find a lot of things, when we accomplish things under Saturn, they last a long time. I mean, the Phoenix cards, they're, you know, that was 25 years ago. And they're still on bookshelves and things. So a lot we accomplish under Saturn, we get very discouraged under Saturn, but what we accomplish under Saturn is usually very long and enduring. So I just wanted to add that. But
Yeah, I agree. Saturn gets a really bad name, but over like the last 3 years, Saturn has aspected every single planet in my chart.
Yeah.
Saturn is the equivalent of the saying, give a man a fish and he can eat for a day, teach a man to fish and he can eat forever.
Right.
It's like Saturn doesn't just give you what it needs, it shows you the tools to be able to overcome anything that you need to, or to build a solid foundation or structure onto anything. So
absolutely. I'm really glad that it's going to be I'm going to be glad to see the end of this month, though, to be honest. I hope things get a little easier. I had tax problems. you know, I had filed taxes. Well, I had hired a woman in 2013 to do my taxes, and she never filed them, and I didn't even know it. So, I mean, it was like major, you know, you could imagine with Saturn and Scorpio, it affected the taxes as well, and oh my gosh. So that's over with, too. So whoop, you know, woohoo. And, you know, in Sagittarius, I don't know if it'll be so bad as it was in Scorpio, though. And sometimes having Saturn on your sun, you know, the Sagittarian's kind of worried about it. You know, when I look back at Saturn on my sun, it wasn't really that bad. You know, things didn't progress real quickly, but it didn't suck that bad.
Yeah.
So now for the Mothman.
Right. Yeah, I found the difficult one for me was the Saturn opposition to my sun was the one that required extra maintenance on my part.
Yeah. Everything comes unraveled, especially with other people, you know, being opposite of your sun.
Yes. Yeah, I lost a job I'd been at for 10 years, and my car died, and all that kind of stuff happened in a period of a few months. So,
yeah,
but
not
again,
too...
everything ended up on a more solid basis afterwards. So
exactly. Well, I listened to a lecture one time in Pittsburgh, and someone asked the person who was, you know, giving the lecture. They said, "Where's the best place to have your Saturn?" And she said, "In someone else's chart."
Yes.
It's best not to even have a Saturn at all. But we all have Saturn, so
I would tend to agree with that one.
I'm really old. I can remember the Mothman. I was pretty small, but you know, I grew up near one of the very first sightings in Doddridge County. And that one tends to get forgotten a little bit. It's one of the more interesting tales of the Mothman. And I can remember my sister coming home from school and telling the story about the night before, Paula Partridge's dad having seen these red eyes in the barn. I was already interested in those kind of things already, but that was quite an experience.
Yeah, something that I had found interesting was 1967. I mean, just within a 2 month period, we had the Patterson Bigfoot film, mm-hmm. and the Silver Bridge collapse, and that was the same year I was born. So,
mm-hmm. Hopefully,
I'm cleared of any charges on either of those.
But, well, people think I'm a vampire. Because I don't look my age. Or I bathe in the blood of virgins or something.
it's hard to come across that.
Go ahead.
I said it's hard to come across that anymore.
Right. Exactly. Hard to find. So, but yeah, maybe your listeners, some of your listeners may not be familiar with, the Mothman. A lot of people haven't heard of him even. Not everyone, but it's a big festival in Point Pleasant, and they have tens of thousands of people show up for their festival. But I was lucky enough that being involved in the Holland Parkersburg Ghost Tours, of course, I was given the old Indrid Cold Woodrow Derenberger tapes about that UFO sighting or contact with Woodrow Derenberger. Or Woody Derenberger, people called him, here back in 1966, which preceded the Mothman sighting by about 10 days. And, John Keel just happened to be in the area. He was traveling. I think he was traveling to Kentucky to do another story. I think he was a freelance journalist at the time. And, stopped in Point Pleasant, and all this Mothman stuff was going on. And, then he heard about the Woodrow Derenberger or the Indrid Cold sighting or contact, which was before the Mothman, and that became a large part of the Mothman Prophecies book. So growing up near the Merle Partridge Mothman sighting out in Doddridge County, and then moving to Parkersburg and doing the Haunted Parkersburg Ghost Tours, and coming across those old tapes or the interviews with Woodrow Derenberger, it kind of got me involved with the festival and everything.
Yeah, that's I have some friends that have seen the Mothman Prophecies movie.
Right.
I know a couple of people that have seen the book. I don't know a lot of people. I seem to not have found many people like myself that have read the book and the movie and seen the movie.
Right.
So there's really a big, the book is terrifying, actually.
Yes, it is.
There's just, it's probably maybe the creepiest book ever, because it's not even a story, it's just an account of all these bizarre events that had no explanation that all happened in a year and a half time period.
Yeah, exactly. There were over 100 sightings of the Mothman, and of course there was one sighting, I think, in Clendenin about people seeing the Mothman near a graveyard before the Scarberry sighting in Point Pleasant. But it was on November 15th, 1966, that Roger and Linda Scarberry, along with another couple from Point Pleasant, were out near the TNT area. At a lover's lane. Now, I don't know exactly. I've never quite understood why a married couple was out of the lover's lane, but they were. And that is where they came upon, they were driving down a dark country road, and caught in the lights of their car, they saw a 6.5-7 foot pale gray humanoid type creature. It had its back turned to their car. It was standing in the middle of the road. It turned to look at the car, and they saw the red, which John Keel says in his book, the red glowing eyes that kind of look like bicycle reflectors, but if you interview some of the witnesses, they tell it a little bit differently, but they saw the creature's red eyes and a pair of pale bat-like wings unfolded from his back, and he went straight up into the air, just like a helicopter, without the wings flapping. So, of course, this was quite terrifying. So they went driving down the country road at a very high rate of speed, and they came out north of Point Pleasant at Route 2, and they were driving down the road, and much to their horror, that they saw that this 6.5-7 foot tall creature was was flying right over the top of their car. And the wingspan was so enormous that as he was beating his wings, the wings hit the side door of the car. And when they got to the city limits of Point Pleasant, they looked over to the side, Linda Scarberry, and she saw the dead body of a German Shepherd dog, which is part of the kind of plays into the Partridge sighting, which happened about two hours later in Doddridge County, which would have been about 90 miles away from Point Pleasant. So as they're screaming down this Route 2 toward Point Pleasant, later Linda Scarberry said she looked over into the field, and that's when there were billboards along the highway, and she saw what she described as, she thought them to be red electrical lights. She thought they were lights on the billboard. But when the billboard was caught into the beams of the car, she saw that those red lights were, in fact, the eyes of the Mothman, and he was perched on the billboard. And as they passed the billboard, he took flight again. And they finally made it to the police station at Point Pleasant and made the report, and that is where, I believe it was Linda Scarberry, made the famous drawing of the Mothman. So after describing having seen this creature, the police went outside to inspect the car, and there were these huge scratches on the side doors of the car. And I guess Roger Scarberry was very particular about his car, and scratches on the doors of his car is something he would have noticed before. And then Linda Scarberry said after they made the report and they went home that night, she said that the Mothman peered in the window at her all night long. Now, she has since passed away, Linda Scarberry. Many of the witnesses have. But she said even to this day, she was still afraid to look outside the windows at night after seeing him peer in the windows at her. It was about 2 hours later was the Mothman sighting in Doddridge County. Now, in John Keel's book, he says it is Salem, West Virginia, and he said the man's name was Newell Partridge. In fact, he must have misheard it, because in fact the man's name was Merle Partridge, and the family lived in a small farming community called Center Point, West Virginia, which was not far from Salem. Now, Center Point was where my grandmother was from. She was actually the postmistress at Center Point. But Merle Partridge was watching television with his young son, Gary, when they began to hear, and this was out in the country, they began to hear their dog Bandit, which was about a 75-pound German Shepherd dog, begin to bark in a very unnerving, atypical kind of way. And as the dog began to bark, the picture went off the television set, and it began to make a loud, high-pitched, whining, grinding kind of sound. And the dog continued to bark, and Mr. Partridge became concerned. So he grabbed his flashlight, and he and his son, Gary, went outside, and they could see that about a football field away, they could see that their dog Bandit, their German Shepherd dog, barking at the entrance of the barn. And when they got up to the barn, Mr. Partridge said he could see these red lights. Now, I interviewed Mr. Partridge. He has also passed away. But I interviewed him a few years ago before he died. And here's what he said to me. He said, red lights, red eyes, whatever you want to call them. He said to me, they look like red rotating electrical lights. And when he was looking at these lights, this form sort of lumbered up from the floor of the barn. And it was very large and it was very dark. And he could see these red lights sort of attach to the form. And that is when Bandit snarled and the fur stood up on his back and the dog ran in to the barn chasing after whatever this thing was. At that time, it did not have a name. So almost like they were paralyzed for a few minutes. They couldn't move or a few seconds. And Mr. Partridge and Gary ran back to the house and they sat down in front of the television set. And finally, the dog stopped barking, and the picture came on the TV set. And that night, Mr. Partridge slept with his rifle beside of him. The next morning, Bandit did not come back home for his breakfast, as he usually did. And they remembered that the last place they had seen him was he had run into the barn after these red eyes or this form. So he and his children, one of them was Roger and Gary and Paula Partridge, went out to the barn to search for the dog. And there was a dirt floor on the barn, and you know, the barn had a dirt floor. And all they could find was Bandit's footprints or paw prints going around in a circle as if he'd been chasing his tail. And then those paw prints stopped as if it had been picked up and carried away by something. And then later they found what Mary Partridge described as something that looked like huge turkey tracks. And they never saw Bandit again. So Mr. Partridge later was reading an article about the Scarberry sighting in Point Pleasant and how they had seen the dead body of a German Shepherd dog by the city limits sign of Point Pleasant. And he put two and two together and realized that this was a similar thing that he had seen in the barn a couple of nights before. And that's how that story became connected to the Mothman. And that's the one that I grew up close to, just a few hills away. So did you have any questions on that? I've got more info, but...
Oh, that's amazing stuff. So you've actually you've met several of the witnesses.
Oh yes,
Yeah, I've got like a million questions for you. I'm having problems narrowing down. So one thing I come across things where they say that there is still Mothman sightings here and there.
Yes. There are people who do claim to see the Mothman. You know, it seems like he has left Point Pleasant. They had something very similar in England. They called the Owl Man back in the 1980s. Other creatures like Jersey Devil kind of have some similarities to the Mothman. But I don't think there's not been a flurry of sightings like there was back in 1966, going into 1967. There seemed to be very random and there just isn't a whole bunch of them together like there was at that time. So yeah. I don't know what to make of those.
So there's some tours and things. I have so many thoughts in my head, I can't get completely out. I don't normally talk this badly, or hopefully not. So I see that on the Mothman Festival website, there are tours and things that you can take.
It's a blast. It's a hayride, and they take you down to the TNT area and different places where the Mothman was sighted. They don't go down to where the Scarberry saw him in the along the country road. They don't go that far. At least I don't think they do. I've driven down there several times. I've had some interesting experiences there, as a matter of fact, down where he was. We went down one night, and we could hear a friend and I, we could hear Native Americans singing or chanting, and then we heard something that sounded almost like a wildcat screamed. Of course, you know, that kind of goes back to Cornstalk's curse. Don't know whether Cornstalk's curse has anything to do with the Mothman. But the interesting thing about it is I am of the same, I've got Lenape Native American heritage, but I also have Shawnee heritage as well. And I'd actually had a dream about the Shawnee Indians the night before we went down to the area where the Scarberries had seen the Mothman. And we sat there and we listened to this Native American chanting and singing. It was kind of hard to describe. The only thing I can similar to was when I went to the Sundance out in South Dakota, and it was the same kind of chanting, and the sounds were similar the people were making. And we just sat there and listened to them until they faded away. And that was my experience pretty much in the area where the Scarberry sighting was. But, you're right. It's seemingly really disconnected things in certain ways. Why is the Mothman associated with UFOs? We don't know, really. And what are these UFOs? And who was Indrid Cold? And, why? And no one's really... when I did the movie Eyes of the Mothman, I think they were hoping I could figure that out for them through my special psychic abilities, but I can't figure it out either. It just happened. It happened, and the witnesses are all credible, very credible people, and have no reason to make up stories like that.
Right, yeah, that's one of the things that bothers me about... like Bigfoot and UFO sightings and stuff. There's always that person out there who's like, oh, they're just doing it to get famous or to what. And it's like, you know, name one person on the Forbes Fortune 500 list who's a UFO abductee or had a Bigfoot encounter or, you know, usually these people are very...
some of them are very embarrassed over it because people will make fun of them.
Yeah.
So they were they curious. And they at the festival they had some of the witnesses difficult for them to come forth. Now Linda Scarberry would appear at the festival, but Roger Scarberry would not. He never would come forth. He was a little embarrassed about it. But she would come forth and tell the story. So some of them really didn't want their names associated with it. And it was quite embarrassing for them because, you know, the ridicule.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can only imagine. I mean, if you wear, you know, unfashionable shoes to work, you get talked
exactly.
about. Imagine if you go in saying, yeah, I saw an 8-foot winged demon with red eyes in my bedroom. What kind of... Think you'll be eating lunch
Linda
by yourself.
Linda Scarberry said something really interesting, too. They said, what do you think the Mothman was? She said, I think it was something sent to distract us from other things, is what she said, which is interesting. To distract us from other things. So I'm not sure what she meant by that, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of conjectures out there, you know, as a... an electrical impulse, it was something to warn us, or it was a manifestation of people's fears and intuitions of what was going to happen.
Well, we're always dealing with beings from other dimensions. So,
yes.
It seems to be something that just sort of slipped through the cracks, into ours for a short time, and for the reason behind that is unknown. Even UFOs to some extent. I mean, people will say, I don't believe in UFOs. How can you not believe in UFOs? UFOs are unidentified flying objects. So anything you cannot identify in the sky, you don't know what it is, and you can't identify it, is a UFO. You know, that's right. Not saying that there's aliens driving it. I mean, most UFO sightings are lights, is what they are. They're mostly lights rather than some mechanical machinery.
Right. That's like two words that extraterrestrial and UFO are not necessarily linked, but they seem to get linked just through.
Yeah, and I think John Keel kind of came, and I've not read all these books, and I need to, but he began to wonder if it wasn't, you know, they weren't really space beings, that they were something else, some other alien, you know, force, that they may not have come from outer space, or maybe were from another dimension. You know, I mean, my brother, he's very skeptical, and he's an atheist, but he said, you know, it would be impossible for beings from other worlds to get to this planet. They would die in the process. It would take too long. Not if you're traveling through dimensions. You know, these dimensions, that would be a relatively probably simple thing to do in certain ways. If you know the way here, you through a black hole or whatever, you know, however way they get here.
But, right, absolutely.
And, you know, and also the entered cold part of the story happened 10 days before the Mothman. It wasn't like Mr. Derenberger made it up afterwards. It was before, and they were completely shocked and puzzled, you know, he and his whole family. And there were tons of UFO sightings here in West Virginia, the High Valley at the time, just tons of them. Probably more sightings of UFOs than there were Mothman.
Yeah, I've read that. Maybe the most fascinating part of the whole story for me is the Indrid Cold part.
Right.
I mean, they really, like I tried to explain to my friends, they had to take, to make the movie, they had to take all these really bizarre, you know, perhaps not even connected events, perhaps connected, but perhaps not. But just all this bizarreness that was going on at the time.
Oh, and just
make it into a cohesive story.
To this day, it does. I mean, it continues to this very day. I think Indrid Cold was your typical man in black. I think that's what he was. You want me to tell a story that your listeners have never heard it? Well,
yes.
On November 2nd, 1966, a local sewing machine salesman by the name of Woodrow Derenberger. Now, they used to call him, older people call him Woody Derenberger is how they pronounce it. But Woodrow Derenberger was driving home about 7 o'clock at night from his job as a sewing machine salesman at J.C. Penney's in Marietta, Ohio, to his farmhouse. He was not a farmer, but his farmhouse in Mineral Wells, West Virginia, about 1 mile south of Parkersburg, at the intersection of I-77 and Route 47, he was coming around the bend. It was misting a light rain, and as he was coming around the bend, he thought a tractor-trailer truck was coming up behind his panel truck or his vehicle at a very high rate of speed without its lights on. So he swerved to the side of the road, and much to his shock, this tractor-trailer truck took flight, rolled across his panel truck, came down in front of him. It was about 25 feet wide. Anyway, I can't remember exactly, but I think it was about 25 feet wide. It was a craft, a dark charcoal gray craft. And it came down and it hovered about 9 to 12 inches up off the road, the berm of the road. A hatch opened. Mr. Derenberger said it was the only time he ever saw any lights. Was this hatch open? A man stepped out who looked like any ordinary man on the street. There was nothing unusual about his appearance. Once he stepped out, the spacecraft went up into the air about 40 feet above the highway where it hovered. and the man began walking toward Mr. Derenberger's truck, and he began to hear the words, "Do not be afraid. I mean you no harm. I only want to ask you a few questions." And that is when Mr. Derenberger became afraid, because as the man talked to him, his lips did not move. He described the man as looking like about 35 years of age. He had on dark clothing, a long dark trench coat of sorts. He had dark hair that was slicked straight back. He had kind of a tanned complexion. It's sort of like a Native American or a person that might be a part Asian look to him. He had almond-shaped dark eyes. He came around to the side of Mr. Derenberger's truck. He peered in the window at him and told him to roll down the window. Roll down the window, which Mr. Derenberger did. And he realized that the man was communicating with him through mental telepathy. And he stared into the window of Mr. Derenberger and said, "I only want to ask you a few questions." And then he later introduced himself as Cold, from Indrid Cold, from a galaxy or a place less powerful than yours, which was interesting. And Mr. Derenberger was very frightened, of course, by this. And Indrid Cold proceeded, and he said, he had a beaming smile. Sometimes Indrid Cold is known as the grinning man. He had a beaming smile. And he pointed toward the lights of Parkersburg and said, "What do you call that?" And Mr. Derenberger said, "Well, I call that Parkersburg. It's a city." And Indrid Cold said to him, "Do people live there? Do they work there?" And Mr. Derenberger said, "Yes, they live there. They work there." And Indrid Cold then said to Mr. Derenberger, "Do you work?" And Mr. Derenberger said, "Well, yes, I work." And Indrid Cold said, "What do you do?" And he said, "I'm a salesman." And to that, Indrid Cold responded, "I'm a searcher." Now, I'm going to send you the CD of these interviews because they're very interesting. He said, "I'm a searcher." Now, Mr. Derenberger later said that he felt that Indrid Cold really was more interested in keeping up a communication with him than about any of the questions he was asking him. They were mundane questions. So the conversation only took place for about maybe 5 minutes. Only 5 minutes. We've talked much longer than this here. And Indrid Cold did say during the interview, too, he said, "Do not be afraid. We mean you no harm." He said, "Why are you so frightened?" And he said, Indrid Cold then said to him, "We mean you no harm. We only wish you happiness." "We only wish you happiness," is what Indrid Cold said to Woodrow Derenberger. Then he thanked him for the conversation, and he said to Mr. Derenberger, "Thank you for answering my questions. And we will see you again." And once Indrid Cold said, "We will see you again," the craft came back down, hovered about 9 to 12 inches off the highway. A hatch opened. A human arm extended. Pulled Indrid Cold up into the craft. It went up again to about 45 feet in the air. It hovered there for a few seconds and made a fluttering sound. In these interviews, Mr. Derenberger makes the fluttering sound with his mouth. And then it flies away at a very high rate of speed. On that same night, South Parkersburg had a complete power outage about the same time Indrid Cold had stopped Woodrow Derenberger. And South Parkersburg, of course, was very close to Mineral Wells. And when I looked up these old articles in the Parkersburg newspaper, it has on the front page of the paper, "Area man stopped by UFO." On the same page, power outage in South Parkersburg for an hour. So there was a complete power outage at the time Woodrow Derenberger was stopped.
That's creepy. So was there any other contacts or communications with Indrid Cold after that?
Absolutely. Now, Mr. Derenberger went home, and he was late, and his wife met him at the door. She said when she described his appearance, he could not have looked any whiter than if he had been lying in a coffin. She said, "What has happened to you?" He said, "Get me a glass of water and I'll tell you." And he describes his experience of being stopped by Indrid Cold and his spacecraft at I-77, Route 47. Now when you're traveling from Parkersburg to Charleston, that's at exactly the WVUP exit. That's exactly where Woodrow Derenberger was stopped. So after conveying this story, telling his wife what had happened to him, Mrs. Derenberger called the West Virginia State Police and reported this UFO encounter. The next day, Woodrow Derenberger tried to go to work, but they sent he did a live interview on WTAP TV in the afternoon, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a live interview about his encounter with this UFO, in which he was interviewed by local media, the West Virginia State Police, the city police. There was representatives from the Wood County Airport, and representatives from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base were on their way to interview Mr. Derenberger, and he gave this live interview. And the reporter that interviewed Woodrow Derenberger, Glenn Wilson, was a friend of mine. I was doing horoscopes on WTAP, so he knew me. And when Mr. Wilson retired, as he was cleaning out his desk and his going through all the things he collected over the years, he found these old UFO tapes. And he thought, perhaps I would like to have those. So he gave them, they were on the old reel-to-reel tape, so I took them to a local radio station, and they made other tapes, cassette tapes for me, and those interviews had not been listened to in, oh my goodness, over 30 years, maybe 35 years I think it was. And those are the tapes I donated to the Mothman Museum. It's really one of the few authentic items that they have in the museum. They've got a lot of old newspaper articles, and they've got props and costumes and things from the Mothman Prophecies movie. But they don't have very many real actual items from that time. And that I actually got to give those to John Keel, and he was shocked. This is before he passed away. I was down at the festival, and I can't remember whether I spoke that year or not. I don't think I did. But anyway, I was down at the festival, and I gave them to John Keel. This is before he died, and he was completely surprised. He didn't even know they existed. And I don't think he believed that they were real, but I'm sure when he took them home and listened to him, he realized that they were authentic. So that is why Mysteries at the Museum contacted me. They contacted me and wanted to know if those tapes were the real thing. And I said, absolutely are. And they wanted me to take a picture of them and send them to them to verify it. So I did. And that's how I ended up on that show. But yes, Mr. Derenberger was visited by Indrid Cold many times. And not only Indrid Cold, but also the Men in Black. And he was extremely frightened over Indrid Cold and the Men in Black. On the interviews, Glenn Wilson says to Woodrow Derenberger, he said, "Mr. Derenberger, if Indrid Cold was very pleasant and very nice throughout the whole conversation, as you said he was, why is it that you still seem so frightened?" And Mr. Derenberger said, "Because, Mr. Wilson, Cold said to me, 'We will see you again.' And that, Mr. Wilson, is what I am afraid of." So, after that, Ingrid Cold would claim, Mr. Derenberger claimed, would land his UFO on a place not far from Mineral Wells called Bogle Ridge. And he would go and visit Mr. Derenberger. And at times, Mr. Derenberger came up missing for 6 months and said he was off with Ingrid Cold, which sounds wild and far-fetched. But his niece tells a story that, and she was a little girl at his house, and he told, Mr. Derenberger told his brother, he said, now I'm going to tell you, tonight at 6 o'clock, Ingrid Cold is going to be in the sky, northwest in the sky at 6 o'clock, and I want you to look northwest. First, you're going to see a red light, and then you're going to see a green light, and then you're going to see a white light, and that's going to be Ingrid Cold that you're going to be looking at. And when the brother went out to look into the sky at 6 o'clock in the evening, he saw precisely what his brother described. It happened. So then people began to make fun of Mr. Derenberger, and he had a nervous breakdown, and his marriage ended, and they eventually moved away to Cleveland because there was so much ridicule. He did move back to the area in the 1990s. You know, as a matter of fact, I think he lived a year or two after the ghost tours had started. And he passed away, and he is buried out in a little churchyard, a graveyard, out at Mineral Wells. Rosemary Guiley and I were out one day, and she was writing on that, if you know the author, Rosemary Guiley. I said, well, you know, I had her in the car, and I said, let's just go. I know he's buried out here at Mineral Wells. I said, let's just drive down this road and see what we see. If we see a graveyard, we'll stop. So we stopped at a graveyard, and we went walking, and we must have found his grave in 5 minutes. We walked right up to Mr. Derenberger's grave. But he passed away, and his family still lives here, and he's got a son, and he's got a daughter. And when I told the stories on the ghost tours for the first couple of years, they did not want me to tell them because they said it embarrassed the family. So I did not tell them anymore. So then when the Mothman Prophecies came out, whenever it was, I think it was about 2000, I decided that it wouldn't hurt to tell them anymore. But yes, and they also had visits from the Men in Black. And Mr. Derenberger was very frightened. He thought that they were representatives of the government or the mafia even. He's terrified of them. How's that for a story? Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I had to mute on there.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's amazing. That's an amazing story. I'd forgotten some of this stuff because the Mothman Prophecies book is so different, and I've never heard that.
Well, a lot of this is not in. It's not in the Mothman Prophecies. A lot of this I have gotten from the tapes. There's so much information on the tapes. There's so many things on there. They hadn't been heard in 35 years. And then some of the interviews with Mr. Partridge, and just my own, research into it, a lot of it's not in the Mothman Prophecies. And a lot of stuff Mr. Keel got wrong, as I said, they got Mr. Partridge's name wrong. And you're going to see that on so many websites, it will say Noel Partridge. It was actually
right.
Merle Partridge. He must have misheard.
Yeah. Is Rosemary Ellen Guiley from that area?
No. She does the festival every year. But, I've had Men in Black encounters myself, and one of the strangest things that ever happened was a friend and I were sitting at dinner with her down in Point Pleasant during the Mothman Festival, and my friend had just gotten a new cell phone. And her phone kept ringing. And we laughed and said, maybe it's Ingrid Cold. We laughed.
So she
looked at the number that was calling, and the number was 111111111. That was the number. And since she was a home health aide, she was worried about maybe it was one of her patients or they needed, you know, help with one of her patients. She didn't know how to use her recording or her voicemail yet. So when she got home, she played the message that was left, and the message was this, "Hi-ya, hi-ya," just like that. Now, the funny thing about that was, about 6 months before, I was here at the house, and I got a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm a night owl. And I picked up the phone, and the voice said, "Hi-ya, hi-ya," just like that. I thought, well, it's somebody playing a prank on me, you know, because the ghost tour. So I hung up the phone, and I star 69, you know, the number, and it was a Point Pleasant number. It was a Point Pleasant number. I only know two people in Point Pleasant, really. I know Jeff Walmsley, who puts on the festival, and I know my brother-in-law's sister lives down there. So I called the number, and the number was disconnected. It was no longer in service, yet the person had just called me.
Oh, my goodness.
So
yeah, my family's from West Virginia, too.
Uh-huh.
My mom and dad were born in Mason Town, which is up there.
Yeah.
Around
very close.
It's not too far from Morgantown up there in northern West Virginia.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, any other... Yeah, I would listen to these stories all day, so...
And, you know, when we were small, like I said, my friend Jeannie was just in from Savannah, Georgia. We were up playing on the hillside. Maybe only a couple of hills away from the Partridge family. I mean, that sounds strange, the Partridge family. But I lived about two hills away. And we were up playing on the hillside. And this was when we were very small. We saw two men in black measuring something on the hillside, measuring. Something told us to be afraid of them. So we jumped behind the bushes and we watched them for a while. Now, one man looked normal. He looked Caucasian. The other man looked kind of Oriental or Asian. That's my Chihuahua barking. He looked Asian, and his hair was dyed blonde, and he was completely dressed in black. Now, they did not look like the Blues Brothers thing that they usually portray the Men in Black as. To me,
right.
They looked like they were wearing a black uniform. We watched them for a little while and ran away back to the house and kind of forgot about it. Then that same year, these people on a church bus called my parents and said they had seen they were going to church in the evening and they had seen a UFO hovering over our house. Now, our house was very near the power source for the town of West Union. And these men in black, they were also very near the power source. And later when we went back up on the hill, there was like a large circular imprint in the ground. So, and then our house underwent a lot of poltergeist activity. And our television set did the same thing as the Partridges. I mean, I remember my brother and I sitting there watching it one night, and it started screaming at us. In other words, it started wailing like a banshee.
Oh, my gosh.
It was wailing like a banshee. And we just sort of looked at each other. And then later when I talked to Mary Partridge, she said their house also went under poltergeist activity. And then Mr. Partridge had another encounter that's never been published. If you want to hear it, I can tell it to you. It was right after the Red Eyes in the Barn.
Oh, yes, yes, please.
Okay, well, it was the following spring. He heard a knock on the door. This was November 1966, so this would have been probably winter of 1967. This was at Center Point, West Virginia. And he heard a knock on the door about 10 o'clock at night, and there was a man about 35, 40 years old looking very frightened. He said, I just ran my Jeep into a ditch and I can't get it out. But he said, that's not what I'm worried about. He said, I cannot find my six-year-old son. He said, as I was driving by, this thing went over my Jeep and blocked out, had a wing or something that blocked out my view. It fluttered over me, and I ran into the side of the road, into the ditch. It was a country road. He said, you know, had this small wreck and looked over, and his six-year-old son is missing.
Oh.
So Mr. Partridge, he calls the police, which it takes the police maybe 15 minutes to a half hour to get there. And they go out searching for this little six-year-old boy. And there they are out there with their flashlights, you know, going up and down the roads. After a little while, here comes this little boy in the opposite direction of where the Jeep was going. It was like he'd come down the road from the opposite direction, just kind of walking like he was in a trance. And he could not remember where he had been for that hour, you know, that hour or hour or so where he had been missing. And Mr. Partridge said just a few years ago, a middle-aged man came and knocked on his door, and he said, do you remember that night where the little boy was missing? He said, well, that was me. And he said, I still cannot remember that hour I was missing or what happened to me. That's never been printed or anything. So your listeners, other than people on my ghost tour, your listeners are first in hearing that part of the Mothman story.
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing.
Another thing Mr. Partridge said, he later moved to New Martinsville, the family did, and he was a truck driver. And he said, strange events followed him after that. He said he could remember one time he was driving home, and he got very tired, so he went into the cab of the truck and covered up and went to sleep. And when he woke up, his body was completely covered in cobwebs all over his body.
Oh. Oh, my goodness sakes.
That's a first, too. Your listeners have that for a first as well.
Wow. Does the Martown Banshee tie in to...
The Centerpoint Banshee does. The second story on my blog. This is so interesting. Not the Martown that I know of, but my grandmother was the postmistress at Centerpoint, you know, many years ago. There was a sighting of a banshee in Martown in 1918, around the time of the Black Flu with the red eyes. You might want to read that. The only thing that would tie them would be the red eyes of the banshee. But you know what? We look upon these things in the way that we understand them. And sometimes these beings will project themselves in such a way that we recognize them according to our culture. So
right.
A dark man or a man dressed in black at the crossroads in 1966, along the highway, Route 47, I-77, is going to be the alien Indrid Cold. If they meet a man dressed in black in the Middle Ages in Europe, it would be the devil. If you live in Mississippi in the 1920s, and you're Robert Johnson, and you meet a man in black at the crossroads, that's not an alien, that's the devil, right?
Right.
So that's kind of fascinating too. But we kind of, they're either projecting themselves in that way or some cultural thing in us interprets them in that way. And that's kind of what I'm going to try to gear my talk around in Point Pleasant, but I have to be careful because it's a real conservative town, and so it's really going to be hard to tell them that Indrid Cold is kind of like a similar description from the Middle Ages in Europe as of the devil, and also in Mississippi as the devil as well. But I mean, the crossroads, the dark man at the crossroads is in Europe, and it's in India, it's in Africa, it's all over the world. The crossroads are a place where no human laws apply. It's where two roads intersect, and anything can happen at the crossroads. And that's a universal belief.
Well, it kind of plays in with the like grid lines and ley lines.
Right. But I can't figure, I mean, I don't have an answer for you on it. I can give you the information, the details about the stories, but I can't tell you what they are or what they mean.
And that's what makes them so creepy, is there is no nice, tied explanation about what was going on. It was just, this is some weird stuff that happened.
Most certainly is. And, you know, there is a menacing quality to the Men in Black. They're very menacing. And most people that would encounter them would be afraid. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you know, sometimes they would subtly threaten witnesses, too.
Right.
There's a lot of the Men in Black, of course. They're men dressed all in black that go and interrogate witnesses of UFOs, usually, and sometimes the Mothman, and they were just all over West Virginia at that time. There were many, many sightings of the Men in Black, especially in Point Pleasant. But, and the funny thing about that was, too, when I was living in Pittsburgh, I bought an encyclopedia of hidden knowledge by an author by the name of Rosemary Ellen Guiley. I opened the book to the Men in Black, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this is what I saw years ago. And I called my friend Jeannie. I said, do you remember us being up on the hill and seeing those men dressed in black? And she said, yes, I do. I remember. So I have her as a witness, too. And that would not have been far from the Partridge's house. Mr. Partridge also said that following spring, he was lying out on his deck, and a UFO, a dark gray, he didn't see any lights, just kind of went over him very silently. It didn't make any noise at all. And he just watched it go over. So.
Interesting. I actually, about 3 years ago, saw a black triangular. I can't say it was alien. It was a UFO. I didn't know what the heck it was.
Right.
But went just above the treetops, just, you know, probably a few hundred feet in the air, right? And I lived in not far from where I am now, the fairly heavy populated area.
Right.
But it was completely silent, made not one whisper of a sound.
Right. A lot of times they'll just vanish. And sometimes they'll vanish and appear in a different spot. They'll vanish in one spot and then appear in a different part of the sky. It's very interesting. I don't have any explanations of aliens, UFOs. I actually believe that we are the aliens. I believe we're hybrids of them. I think there's human beings just suddenly appeared 45,000 years ago, modern humans. Is that how long ago it was? I think it was about 45,000 years ago. Just suddenly appeared, you know, and began to talk and make things, you know, out of nowhere. I guess if you're religious, you'll think, well, Adam and Eve, you know, maybe it was Adam and Eve and God created them. But human beings just suddenly appeared and very different than other creatures on this earth. You know, given the ability to create, to talk, and do all these things. So I think if I had a theory on what they are, I believe they're probably coming back and checking on our progress, but they don't really want to be involved in it in a way. It's just almost like checking.
Right. Like the babysitter going up and checking to make sure the kids are still in bed every once in a while.
Yeah, true.
So are there, has anyone reported any recent Men in Black sightings in that area?
Well, I had a guy stalking me that fit the description of a man in black. He would be everywhere I would go, and he would come on the ghost tour. And at that time, he really sounded like an exact description of Indrid Cold. He was 30. He looked about 35 years old, about 6 feet tall, dark trench coat. Always wore the long black trench coat. Would follow me around. Would come on the ghost tour when we were playing parts of the interviews, and just sat there very quietly and listen to the interviews and leave. The last time I saw him, he was at an art auction. I kept telling people this about this guy. No one saw him except me. I would always be alone. And the funny thing was, he came to a book signing, which was like 35 years after the Indrid Cold sighting. And this is what's interesting. He told me he was a Scorpio because it was an astrology book. Well, November 2nd, 1966 would make him a Scorpio, right? And then he said, I've got to leave. He said, I need to go find my brother. I never saw him with his brother. But he came to this art auction. He bought some of my artwork, paid cash for it, and I never saw him again.
Oh, my gosh. That is so crazy.
I know. So I can't be sure. I can't be sure, but it was certainly odd.
Oh, my goodness.
It was around the time I was getting those weird Point Pleasant phone calls as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think I don't know. I mean, I'm okay. I'm not, they didn't whisk me away or anything, but if I come up missing,
right.
I may be with Indrid Cold. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
And I also notice about some of these sightings, families. It's like families will see UFOs. It seems to they seem to be linked towards certain families rather than because my uncle had an encounter almost identical to Woodrow Derenberger over in Dayton, and he worked at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and he was out he was out in the country coon hunting with some friends, and they come upon this craft in the back in the woods, and this guy steps out that looks completely ordinary and begins to talk to him. The other men got frightened and ran away, and said the same thing to my uncle that was said to Woodrow Derenberger. Well, you know, you'll see me again, and you know, thanks for talking to me. And, you know, it was similar. And my uncle hadn't heard of this story of the Woodrow Derenberger. But he wouldn't talk about it very much. And he came back home to West Virginia, and he brought this friend with him. And his brother, my other uncle, was laughing at him for claiming to see this alien and this UFO. And the friend, whose name was Mike Kovich, was his name, said, "Don't laugh. I was there. I saw it too, but I ran away."
Oh. My goodness.
And my uncle worked for Wright-Patterson, and he claimed that those stories of the bodies of the aliens were true. It was absolutely true, he said. And he was an atheist. He didn't buy into any of this crazy stuff. He didn't even believe in God.
Right.
So.
Oh, my goodness.
And so at that time, my family was having a lot of UFO sightings as well. You know, the ones over my family's home in West Union. And then my grandfather worked for the B&O Railroad, and he was out checking signal lights one night. A ball of light rolled across his Jeep, and his Jeep lost power and went down into a field. And as soon as the ball of light, you know, it sort of, as it went away, as it traveled forward and went away, the power came back on his Jeep, you know. And so my family had quite a few, and you know, they weren't really people that followed UFOs. And even Mr. Derenberger, in the interviews with him, when they said, "Mr. Derenberger, what would you think if we told you the same story that you're telling us?" He said, "I would have thought you were crazy, because until this happened to me, I never believed in any such thing."
Wow. That's... that's... did your uncle that worked at Wright-Patterson... did he see things for himself?
Just that one encounter was it. He said that when they said they were coming back, though, they were going to return. They said the same thing to him. There was a whole bunch of UFO sightings at the same time. He would not talk about it very much for the same reason, ridicule. He would only talk about it if he was drinking. If he had a few too many drinks, he would tell the story. He wouldn't otherwise talk about it. So, very strange world we live in.
Yes, I would say. So tell us, since Halloween's coming up, tell us a little bit about your ghost tours.
Our ghost tours start out on September 26th. Every Friday and Saturday night in downtown Parkersburg, Haunted Parkersburg Ghost Tours. We start out at the haunted and historic Blennerhassett Hotel. We have excuse me, all kinds of interesting paranormal stories. I will tell the Mothman. Usually people want me to, especially if I have a lot of kids on the tour, I'll tell the Mothman. Don't usually tell the Indre Cold story because, believe it or not, it's really hard for people to grasp that. And their interest seems to kind of wane when I talk about that. They're kind of there for the ghost and everything.
Right.
But it's a tour of hauntings and ghosts and paranormal. We've got the Mothman. We've got Indre Cold. We've got the Banshee of Martown. We've got Civil War ghosts. We've got, just all kinds of fascinating hauntings. We go by areas of ongoing hauntings. We don't go inside any of the buildings. Of course, most people live in them. But, the Blennerhassett Hotel, it is itself haunted. And usually, as we do the ghost tour, the energy will pick up and lots of things will happen. Just and the likelihood of getting apparition pictures on the ghost tour is pretty good. We get a lot of apparition pictures in the windows of the Van Winkle Mansion, which is the home of Senator Peter Godwin Van Winkle, one of West Virginia's first senators, and he was a friend of Edgar Allan Poe. He was also a friend of Abraham Lincoln, and Senator Van Winkle was one who helped pass the Emancipation Proclamation. We also go up to Riverview Cemetery, where he's buried, and it's a very haunted cemetery. They have a lot of shadow people, ghosts, shadow men in Riverview Cemetery, and sometimes on certain nights we can see them. Which is a lot of fascinating history. It's one of the best ghost tours in the nation, I have to say. We're in the top 10. And, in the top ghost tours, you've got places like Salem and Gettysburg and Savannah and all these places you expect. And you've got Little Parkersburg, West Virginia. So... pretty good.
Yeah, when I was a wee lad, my dad took me around to some of the Civil War battlefields there in like the Pennsylvania and West Virginia and Virginia areas. So I was a little too young to understand energetic and psychic and paranormal things at that point, but kind of wish now I had taken some pictures and
right.
I was probably like 7 at the time.
I think Gettysburg is probably one of the most haunted places on Earth. And, of course, they've got some fantastic tours in Gettysburg. But if you can't make it to Gettysburg, you can make it to Parkersburg. And it's well worth it. You have to be pretty smart to enjoy the tours because there's lots of history. We do go, we go into the paranormal a lot and we have a couple of really fascinating new ghost stories from Riverview Cemetery this year. It's a very old graveyard. They have some of Stonewall Jackson's relatives buried in there. They have his sister buried in there and several cousins. And lots of Civil War soldiers buried in Riverview Cemetery, governors. And President Kennedy went in that graveyard in 1960 to visit the grave of Senator Van Winkle. And Van Winkle's buried right beside of the Weeping Woman statue. And it kind of has some of the same qualities of the grave of Marie Laveau. It's a very active old statue. And people have gotten some real unusual pictures of that statue. And it, as she looks over the Jackson family plots, we've got the Partridge family, now we've got the Jackson family.
This is
the Stonewall Jackson family.
Right.
And interesting enough, most of them were Union supporters. They were not Confederates like Stonewall. But Stonewall Jackson's mother spent her pregnancy in Parkersburg, and he's got lots of relatives around here. But it's a very active statue, and it's a very amazing statue. I had some women fly in from Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago just so I could take them to the Weeping Woman statue.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome stuff. Yeah, I do kind of want to touch you. You put up a really good, this is a slightly different topic, I guess, but you just reposted a really good blog from a couple years ago about psychic vampires and how to not allow them to ruin your life.
Right.
I'm getting so many people with the energy so intense out there. I feel there's a lot of attachments and
They're latch on
things feeding off of people.
They feed and they, you know, I wouldn't call them necessarily evil people. They cause your life to be very disrupted, and they can draw upon your vital energies, especially if you're empathic. Anyway, if you're empathic, if you're psychic, you have a lot of psychic energy, and they'll be very powerfully drawn. So I'm constantly fighting them off, to be honest with you. I mean, as I've gotten older, I've learned kind of how. And usually with psychic vampires, you know, you can recognize them. Many of them are very talkative. And as they talk, you'll notice that your energy is depleted. And a lot of times they are very self-absorbed people. They are often hypochondriacs. They will talk a lot about illnesses and things. And they want to be very close to you. I had one incident where I used to have this woman that would almost sit on my lap. That's how close she... I mean,
oh,
it was
my gosh.
Very, very obvious. She would stare at me, and she would want to sit, I mean, I'm not kidding, 6 inches away from me. And she wasn't a bad person. I can't call her a bad person at all. She was a very needy person, very needy. And but I have learned now, usually with psychic vampires, if you feel like someone is they're like the ultimate pest. And not only are they a pest, they disrupt your life. They bring bad energies into your life. Bad things can start happening to you. They draw you into their dramas. And a lot of times you can't get anything done because they take you over. And if you're empathic, you're going to want to help them because there'll be people with many problems, or they will constantly need all of your attention. And sometimes when they latch onto you, you become their whole world. You become everything to them. But as I've gotten older, it's very simple. It's so simple to get rid of them. All you have to do is say no. Start saying no. Don't give them what they want. And once you do that a few times, they will go away because they're parasites and they're absorbing your energy. You know, they're absorbing your vital energy. And that's why they like psychics, because psychics have so much energy. They're like children in a way. Psychics and children, that's why if you're going to get ghost pictures, you want to put a psychic or a child in the picture, because they have so much psychic energy, the spirits can draw on it, for one thing, and manifest in your photographs. But they're powerfully attracted to psychics or empathic people. Now, a lot of times, the psychics will have the excess energy anyway. But if you're simply empathic and you're sensitive to others, you may not have all that energy that a natural psychic might have. So once you start saying no to them and their desires and not give in to them, they'll leave. You'll never see them again. They will find somebody else and move on.
Good advice. I'd say there's an ever increasing number of them running around right now.
Yeah, and readers, you know, with your even with your astrology readings, readers, you attract them. It's one of the reasons I don't do very many readings, because I just can't have that, them drawing on me like that. I mean, I'll break down and do a reading for someone. Usually I'll say, listen, I don't have time to do a full reading for you. Just send me a couple of questions. Give me your birth information. Give me two or three questions, and I'm happy to answer your questions for free. You know, rather than have them come to my house, and the
right.
possibility of inviting a psychic vampire into my house and then trying to struggle with getting rid of them, which is difficult. So anyway, so I'm sure you have them as well.
Yes, right.
You've run into a few.
Run across a few, yeah.
Right.
And I get people messaging me all the time with,
well, their persistence. Persistence of them is another. How persistent they are is another. It's another way of knowing who is the psychic vampire. They just don't want to give up. They're very persistent. I remember, I had one, and I got so this is I wouldn't answer the phone, and this is what it's for cell phones, and I always knew it was her because she'd let the phone ring 30 times. You know, and most people would put the phone down after 10 or 12 rings, if even
right.
that. She would let the damn thing ring 30 times. And I'd always know it was her just by that. Very persistent. Very pushy.
Yeah. Yes. Similar stories. I've seen similar stories.
I know. It's a shame, isn't it? And my brother even said one time, he said, you're just going to have to put a stake through her heart. He said, you're just going to have to drive a stake through her heart. It's the only thing that's going to get rid of her. So, but I just started saying no. And that she left.
So, so that's great stuff. So what, is there anything else you want to?
Well, I have my black moon. Yeah, I have my black moon Lilith astrology cards coming out in 2016. I think they'll be the first really comprehensive astrology deck, because they have had sun sign and planet decks. I don't know if you have any of those, but there's not been any real comprehensive like this one. I think it's I can't remember how many cards. Maybe about 56 cards. It's not a tarot deck, though. It's not based on tarot. And I have Mercury retrograde. I've got the eclipses. I've got, you've got the signs and the planets and the aspects and the houses. And anyway, so then you put them all together. And if you're an astrologer, you will be able to read them quite easily. If you're not, there's a book, there's a book that goes along with it where you can look everything up. But when the cards come up, they come up together, you just read it like a chart. You come up with Venus, maybe you have Aries, and then maybe you have the fifth house, or maybe you have a square or Grand Cross or something like that. And then you kind of know what to read in that way. So that's coming out, and I'm excited about it. And I also have a reincarnation deck called the Phoenix Cards, which is 25 years old, and another book called The Astrological Guide to Seduction and Romance. That's available
awesome.
As well.
Awesome.
So I enjoy it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I've seen a few of your. I think you've shared a few of the cards you're working on for the Astro.
Right.
Tarot deck on Facebook and
they may change the title.
Beautiful.
Oh, thank you. They may change the title. I don't know. So it's Blue Angel Publishing out of Australia, and they're kind of like the Hay House of Australia. They do really fine work. So if you ever word of advice, if you ever want to publish anything, a book or anything, you might want to try foreign presses. you know, because, you know, they're so inundated, American publishers and, you know, England, Australia, those places, it's a good idea to try those publishers.
That's a wonderful idea. I have.
Yeah, it's where it worked out.
Material I'm working on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, try Ireland or England or Australia or some English-speaking country. And the quality of their work, of course, is just as fine as in America.
Right. Wow, I never would have thought of that. That's a great idea.
Yep.
Huh.
And I can't think of it. Oh, I'm going to, yeah, I'll be at the Mothman Festival next weekend. And I will be there to, you know, to talk to people. I'll be giving a speech on Dark Man at the Crossroads, Ender Cold and the Men in Black. I think that's going to be at 2 or 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon is when I will be speaking.
Okay.
I will be there. I also will have CDs of Woodrow Derenberger's interviews from 1966. And then the following weekend, on September 25th, we start the ghost tours. And we will be going through October 31st, and I also give private tours. If you have like 8 or 10 people, I will give you a private tour. And you
Excellent.
Can book those.
Excellent. Yes, Halloween is the funnest time of year in my book.
Me too, but it's been so cold the last few Halloweens. It's been like, I think last year it was like 30 degrees.
yeah.
And we had snow. We had actually snow on Halloween in 2012. That was fun.
I think we did too.
Yeah, so come early if you really want to enjoy the tours because, you know, there will be crowds near Halloween, but come early if you really want it to be, you know, probably before, at least before the 20th of October, and you can enjoy it a lot more. The weather will be better, I hope.
Yeah, let's hope it doesn't get that cold again.
And the Haunted Parkersburg website, there's a couple of them. There's one called Ghost of Parkersburg. It's online. It's a blog. And my other website, Haunted Parkersburg, actually, I haven't been able to update it since 2013. It's an old Wix site, which they've changed them, and I can't log in. So I'm trying to figure out how to log in. But anyway, it's got 2013 dates on it. But it will give you a general, you know, description of the ghost tour.
Okay. Yeah, I see it's listed on... Yes, yeah, listed on hauntedhouses.com. And
right, and it's kind of... And I can't update it. It's really bad.
yeah,
Wix completely changed their system. And I can't even find a place to log on, so I'm going to try to get that figured out by the ghost tours. But anyway, you can go to Ghost of Parkersburg. It's all updated.
Okay, and I am putting your blog there.
Okay.
On my Facebook page and in the chat room.
Well, come on the ghost tours, everybody. You will have a blast. They're really fun.
Yeah. West Virginia's always kind of had a weird energy to it. I spent at least a few weeks every summer the first, 15 years of my life down there probably. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of funky stuff that goes on down there.
Well, Rosemary Guiley says that West Virginia has more, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey, for some reason, have more paranormal activity than any other states in the nation. And it might be just because they're rural, I don't know, but that's what she claims. Very active.
Yeah, actually, I met Rosemary a couple years ago at the Universal Life Expo here in Columbus. And I talked to her a little bit. In fact, she's got a book on, I couldn't find it off the top of my head here, but it's The Haunted West Virginia or something to that.
Right, effect. Yeah.
But yeah, very, very interesting stuff there.
Yeah. And I also have a book called Cry of the Banshee. She's got some of my stories from Cry of the Banshee in her West Virginia book. But she's collected stories from over West Virginia, but I have a book of ghost stories, and it's got a lot of information on Ender Cold and the Mothman in it as well.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have? Is there a list of like where people can? Do you have a list of where you're the books that you have for sale? And
well, you can get them on. You can get them on Amazon. I'll post it on the books. There's another Susan Shepherd that writes books on how to steal people's husbands and things. That's not me.
Okay.
Not me that writes those books. She writes these books on how to have affairs and things like that. That's another Susan Shepherd, but mine are, I think I've got three or four, so I'll post that on my Facebook, or I'll send it to you.
Okay, and I'll be, I'll post it up on my webpage, too, so that people can find some of your, there's a couple
materials.
Susan Shepherds out there, yeah.
Yeah, I know, it's a pretty common name.
A Vampire Story, is that yours?
No.
No.
I don't think so. Wait a minute. No, is it a book?
Yeah.
I have an article called Vampires and Werewolves, Mostly Ghostly, Are They Really Rather Real? But no, I don't have a book on vampires. I know, I should have changed my name a long time ago. Too late now. Give myself some fancy name.
Right.
But I didn't.
Susan Cold. Like wife of Indrid Cold.
Oh yeah. Well, oh gosh, I hope not. I really would rather not.
Yeah. Okay. I know you're busy.
Yeah.
Getting ready for the Mothman and
ghost
tours.
Okay.
We appreciate you spending some time with us here and telling us some great. Creepy stories here, and we would love to have you back on in the future, maybe when your tarot deck comes out.
Okay.
Sounds
awesome.
We'll have you back on again. I could talk about Mothman for 20
yeah.
hours.
I'm sure we didn't cover it all. Well, yeah. I will see you next week at the festival, Mark.
Yes, I plan on being there, and
okay.
I'll make sure I run into you.
Okay. Well, listen, I'll see you then. And
okay.
Hopefully I'll see some of your viewers on the Haunted Burgersburg Ghost Tours as well. So I'll talk to you all later then.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Susan. Okay. That was our guest, Susan Shepherd, sharing some great ghost stories and banshee stories and Men in Black and other creepy crawly stories there going on. Let's see. So coming up, there may not be a show next week. We'll definitely be, I'm not quite sure of that yet. We'll definitely be back on Friday, September 25th, and it looks like we are going to have Susan L. Baker on, I'm sorry, Jessica M. Baker, what was that one already? Jessica M. Baker, founder and CEO of Aligned Signs. She has an interesting business where she incorporates astrology with some other things to help people serve their clients and run their businesses. So we will be having her on, and I believe we are going to have our good friend Robert Phoenix on in the near future as well. And we have I've got some other surprises lined up for you. Maybe putting some podcasts out and doing some videos and maybe online classes here in the near future as well. So I think that is about it for today.
Mark, wake up, Mark.
Oops, and that was the wrong sample, of course. Here we go. Oops. Here we go. This is the
Mark.
Right.
time to return to the ship.
Okay, so everyone have a good weekend. Be careful. Solar eclipse, new moon. Hang in there. Things will look much different by the end of the month. So we will talk to you in the near future, and have a great weekend, everyone.
Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids.